It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
Good morning. Scott Luton here with you today live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Big welcome to our listeners. Glad to have you with us here on the show today. We are broadcasting live from the Metro Atlanta Chamber overlooking the bustling city of Atlanta from about 34 floors up.
That's correct.
The 191 Peachtree Tower. Beautiful city of Atlanta. On a side note, on the front end here, if you're catching this podcast on a replay, we are broadcasting live today. I need three more cups of coffee. And you want to listen live next time, go to supplychainnowradio.com. We've got a big red button at the top. Click on that, follow the instructions, and we'll get you on board live here at Supply Chain Now Radio. This morning, I've got a great show teed up. We're going to be continuing our hashtag Supply Chain City series, where we spotlight the best in all things supply chain right here in Atlanta. And before we introduce our featured guest today, let's say good morning to my talented co-hosts, Ben Harris, Director of Supply Chain Ecosystem Expansion with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Scott. Great day to be here at the Chamber this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for hosting. Glad to have you again as our Supply Chain City co-host. And Will Haraway, founder and lead evangelist with Backbeat Marketing. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Scott.
Glad you're here as well. Good
yes,
to see
sir.
You again.
Yes, sir.
On the heels of a great webinar last week.
Thanks. That was fun. I had a good time, as always.
Telling folks how to influence the influencers and better tell your story.
Yeah, a little supply chain stuff.
All right. And on a side note to our listeners, you know, both Ben and Will also serve on our Apex Atlanta Executive Advisory Board. We're very proud and pleased of their sacrifice there as well.
We meet right here.
That's right. We were here just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So let's welcome today's featured guest. We've got a great show lined up. Tom Cunningham, PhD. Dr. Cunningham here, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Glad
to be here.
Glad you're with us here today.
I'm glad to be here, too.
So today's show, again, we're going to keep hammering away at this supply chain city theme. We're so pleased to be part of a city in a Metro Atlanta area, really, that's got incredible things going on across the end-to-end supply chain. And today we're going to kick it off, as always, with a few top things to know in supply chain now. So, of course, today we're going to have a keen focus on all things supply chain city. So, Ben and Will, y'all kick us off. And what are some of the things that you've been tracking lately? And let's start with Ben.
Yeah, sure. So, Norfolk Southern, big announcement, finally completing their long ride to their Atlanta headquarters now. They've actually been in Atlanta for years. They've actually had over 2,000 employees here in Atlanta, so it's always been their biggest office, but they've never actually officially made it their headquarters. It's always been up in Norfolk where the company started. So very exciting project there. It's a long time coming. I know there's been some kind of soft booms as far as the announcement here leading up to it in the past year, but it's taken a lot of political things, a lot of different arrangements. They actually had 16 acres at the Gulch downtown Atlanta, where they actually had to sell that 16 acres to actually finance their headquarters move here. So
wow.
A lot of that was held up because of that. Also, the Gulch itself, you know, which we talked about in previous episodes, that's now has the green light now. So that had to actually pass the city council for that to happen. So all the things that needed to happen did happen to get Norfolk Southern here. So major addition to Supply Chain City, bringing looks like over 600 jobs in addition to the already 2,000 they had, in addition to some other jobs that they're bringing down total. So I think over 1,000 jobs will actually be added, I believe, as the net basically of this big move. So very excited to officially welcome Norfolk Southern or re-welcome them to Supply Chain City. So yeah, big name,
big news.
Adding them to the Knicks.
Over $500 million investment in the expansion here.
Yep.
They named some of their big drivers access to talent and, of course, the world's best airport, amongst a longer list. But those are two things I read.
Yeah, the airport continues to be, you know, from a connectivity standpoint. We'll talk about another announcement here in a minute, which that made all the difference as well. So a lot of foreign direct investment. Tom, I'm sure we'll get into some of that and some of that later. But yeah, it's a big driver for us is connectivity here in Atlanta.
And one other thing I gleaned from their press release, Norfolk Southern serves every East Coast container port. And now, of course, they're going to base their company in Georgia, home to the one of the world's fastest growing seaports.
Yes.
So great to have them here. And speaking of big news, so in other big news for the state of Georgia, the governor had another card up his ace up his sleeve this week. So, Ben, tell us about that.
Yeah. This was another long time coming project. Hapag-Lloyd America is set to invest another $5.5 million here in Atlanta and create another 360 jobs in their Gwinnett County expansion. They actually already had an existing office there, Gwinnett County. It was very competitive to actually move these jobs. So it's actually a retention and an expansion of jobs. So we kept the jobs here, and we're actually adding another 360 jobs. So really exciting project there. They were actually they merged with United Arab Shipping Company back in May 2017, who actually employs approximately about 12,000 individuals and operates 394 offices in 127 countries. So that after that merger, that made them one of the top four shipping lines in the world, actually together. So adding another 600 jobs, of course, to the economy here was big. Especially on the heels of Amazon deciding to go elsewhere with some of their jobs, even though Amazon has over thousands and thousands of jobs
here.
In Georgia already.
Right. Yep.
It's really good news for Gwinnett County also, because you had West Rock, who actually left town there previously, and also NCR up in Duluth, who decided to move into Midtown as well. So it's great to have some jobs there locally up in the Gwinnett County area.
Well, I also read in that press release the company mentioned that Georgia's commitment to logistics was a big part of the reason, and also the inland ports. And the news that the latest inland ports going into Hall County was critical in its decision to expand here, which is great to see. And one other little note here, I noticed, and I'm going to mispronounce this name, so I apologize. It's my South Carolina English coming out. Uffe Oostergaard with Hapag-Lloyd. I think he's one of the senior executives.
He's president of North America.
Thank you very much, Ben. So the Southern hospitality, I think it a little bit of the magic juice that helps our company grow and prosper. I thought that was kind of a neat quote. But great, big news, a week of big news, big wins for the Metro Atlanta area and the state of Georgia in general. So those are going to pay big dividends for years to come in Georgia. But what other good news might you have specifically for the transportation and warehousing
sectors? Yeah, I figured, let's talk a little bit about the economy since we've got Tom obviously here. So supply and purchasing managers in the transportation and warehousing arenas will apparently significantly ramp up their capital expenditures in 2019 as part of what is overall a reasonably optimistic outlook for the U.S. economy, according to the Institute of Supply Management. In their releasing their forecast for next year, according to a survey of executives in the service sector, which includes transport and warehousing, 2019 CapEx will rise by 3.4%. However, the 43% of service sector respondents who expect to boost their CapEx will do so on average by 13.8%, according to the survey. And transportation and warehousing will basically lead the pack in terms of percentage increases, ISM said. So, and they'll do all that. They didn't release specifics on that necessarily, but I think it's good that manufacturers will be boosting CapEx as well on average by about 6% next year, according to the report. So I think the overall, according to the ISM at least, they're thinking growth, but slower growth basically than this year. So I'm sure we'll get into that more with Tom. Anything you wanted to add on that, Tom?
No, that sounds about right. Seeing a little bit slower growth next year, absent a recession, is a pretty good bet.
Good deal.
So given that, it's good that this is a week of wins to kind of counterbalance some of those headwinds that might be coming up. Well, good stuff, Ben. A busy week.
It was indeed. It was a great week for Supply Chain City. Very excited about these two announcements here in the past couple of weeks. And I think it seems like the governor seems to be just kind of running up the score as far as jobs and investment
right now.
It's like, let Kemp have some good news too.
But some magic juice.
The magic juice.
Yeah,
yes.
That's Degard.
Creating some momentum for him, maybe.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, thanks for everything you and the economic development team do to keep those wins coming. Appreciate what y'all do. Ben and Tom and the whole team here. Okay, Will Haraway, a.k.a.
Yes, sir.
Preacher Will.
Hallelujah.
What have you been tracking lately on in the world of supply chain?
Well, tangentially related to Atlanta, we'll talk about Lowe's. In an earnings call in August, their CEO, Marvin Ellison, said that Lowe's supply chain would be crucial to his company's return to competitive glory. So this week, they opened a 1.1 million square foot warehouse in Coopertown, Tennessee, which is just outside of Nashville. And this facility is large enough to contain 22 football fields, to continue our theme, plus 75%, and it puts 75% of the U.S. within a two-day ship zone and can handle 100,000 packages a day in capacity.
That's
so
a
major step up for them. And it's, you know, location, location, location. It is actually just about halfway between FedEx in Memphis and, of course, UPS here in Supply Chain City.
Speaking of Memphis, did you know, speaking of large DCs also in Tennessee, Nike's got one over 4 million square feet there in Memphis.
Wow. Yeah, I did not know that. But that's right around the airport, south of the airport there, around where FedEx is, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned UPS. So speaking of UPS, you've got some big news there for the supply chain dynamo that calls Atlanta home.
That's right. They were named by one of our favorite publications here on the show, Supply Chain Dive. They named UPS their 2018 Company of the Year. So the way they described it is through various innovative products and partnerships that embrace its newfound spirit, UPS has demonstrated a clear vision to solve pressing challenges facing the supply chain, achieving enhanced efficiency in the business-to-business world and earning it the award of Supply Chain Dive's Company of the Year. So some notable achievements that they cited there were that UPS is taking on the last mile challenge, a challenge for all delivery companies at this point and all shipping companies, by launching a pilot with Latch, which allows its drivers inside apartment complexes to drop off packages, also security reasons as well. They also launched Where to Go, an on-demand platform for warehousing that matches shippers with available space close to their consumers. So that's, again, taking advantage of just trying to get closer to customers. That's what everybody's trying to do. And certainly investing in automation, which makes me think of our guest from Gray Orange from about a month ago.
Chris Barber.
Yep, exactly. Making sortation and robotics at their facilities to make them faster and more efficient. Through 2022, UPS plans to open 7 super hub facilities, which can sort packages 30% more efficiently than standard facilities, thanks to those upgrades.
Yep. Big innovations. You know, we talked a few shows back about the challenge of urban logistics, and it seems like a lot of these innovations are designed to help them better tackle, right? Especially with the live, work, play dynamics.
As Ben alluded to, you know, companies like, companies are moving into Midtown, you know, and that's to take advantage of the Beltline, to take advantage of the infrastructure of that live, work, play. So it is becoming more condensed. A more condensed world for these deliveries, and that's where these innovations are coming into play.
Yep. So I was trying to pull up Supply Chain Dive. What a great publication, and it seems like they've been growing tremendously. And Supply Chain Dive is the one who named UPS Company of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
SupplyChainDive.com?
Yes.
Is that right, Will?
Mm-hmm.
And David Abney is our incoming chairman here at the Metro Atlanta Chamber. So he's the CEO, of course, of UPS. So really exciting to hear about that on the heels of that, obviously. So
huge. So, Will, I know we're going to change out your last bullet point, but real quick, because I've got a great UPS, from UPS's brown and yellow to UGA's red and black.
That's right.
We're going to talk about 316 getting bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick, and then we're going to talk about the Inland Port, right?
Sure, yeah. Well, this is good news for Ben, who's getting married in Athens very, very soon.
That's right.
So all of the treasure trove of guests that are just going to be headed
much
down
easier for my guests to get there, thankfully.
Well, it won't be quite in time for that, but still, for all the dog fans out there who struggle to get to Athens on Saturdays, our U.S. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao announced that the DOT is funding 91 road, rail, and transit infrastructure projects all around the country, and the one in Georgia is a $24 million project to expand 316.
Love it.
Yep, including a walking a bridge structure where it connects with State Road 11, which I do know that intersection, and it is tough. So that'll be helpful to you guys.
Yeah, we're out in Walton County, so we welcome any transportation infrastructure improvements. In fact, Snellville, where somebody's going through a big one, where Scenic Highway and Highway 78, that intersection, which is notorious for backups, that's going through a massive upgrade too. So looking forward to it. And to Will's point, congratulations on the news, but it, you know, you're going to have all lanes headed one way to Athens for the right. big date then.
Indeed. It may not be ready by then, but yeah.
Right.
Hopefully something's ready by October next year. Hopefully we are.
All right. We got to bring the First Lady Supply Chain in Atlanta on the show at some point
soon. You know, that'd be fun. That'd be interesting. Let's do that.
Yeah. All right. So, and Will, one last, and not, these aren't ranked in order of priority because this last bullet point that you wanted to tackle is a big, you know, this inland port strategy is a big winner for the state of Georgia already thus far.
Yeah. And you alluded to this earlier, and it's another of the governor's, you know, like you said, running up the score. He announced, or the state of Georgia with, you know, Nathan Deal announcing that Georgia is opening a 90 million rail hub tying Gainesville to the Savannah port. Now, why is this important? It's going to help with our traffic. It's going to help with traffic all over the state. So they unveiled plans on Monday. Well, it's like actually a couple of Mondays ago. Sorry. What it will do is it improve access to Savannah's harbor. Hundreds of miles away, and reduce congestion through Metro Atlanta.
Yep.
So it'll be completed in 2021, and it's called the Northeast Georgia Inland Port, and it will link Savannah by rail and will be the new shipping hub for millions of goods set to be transported and exported through Savannah. So it's about 300 miles from the Savannah port, and that commute at right now takes truckers more than 4 hours one way, even on the best of traffic days. So officials estimate that the inland port will eventually keep 150,000 trucks off the road each year, wow. eliminating millions of miles of truck traffic.
Wow.
So that will trickle down to everything that we do every day here in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's from like, a traffic standpoint. That's
yeah, yeah. That's like an hour on the roads here on the grid with no tractor trailers, right?
Exactly.
Maybe a couple hours.
Yeah.
Well, still big news, big win for industry that of course, and transportation being the backbone of supply chain. And what a neat early indication of this strategy that the state and all the players, you know, kind of doubled down on. Great early returns. So yep, looking indeed. Forward to kind of seeing where it goes from here. One minor thing to wrap up on. So Supply Chain Now Radio, in a separate note, we're really pleased to announce that we're official media partners for one of the latest and greatest trade shows that'll be coming in town in 2019. So EFT, which is short for Offer Transport, is holding their 3PL and Supply Chain Summit from June 10th through the 12th, 2019, here in Atlanta. Ben, you know where the venue is at the World Congress Center? Do you know?
It's actually right across the street from here, I believe. It's the, I think it's the Westin.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Chris and I will have to bone up on our media partner credentials here, but a great show. They've got an incredible lineup. Lot of leading supply chain logistics movers and shakers, folks from Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, American Global Logistics.
Yep, John will be there.
John Slongerup is going to be one of the keynotes as well, but I counted over 40 or 50 really folks in the know that'll be speaking. So great lineup. For more information, you can check out EFT.com. It's in their event lineup. And of course, if you can't find it that way, shoot us a note at Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at supplychainnowradio.com, and we'll make sure we get you the details. So looking forward to a great show.
EFT is another great growing supply chain organization. It really is. I mean, logistics and supply chain really, really down in the weeds with the data. That is showing how, you know, supply chain makes the world go round, sir.
Yep. I'm ready for that next disruptive technology that's going to reduce the time zone. So that five-hour difference between here and their London office where is the nerve center.
Oh, yeah.
That's tough to plan around and get stuff done. So whenever y'all are ready to roll that out so that we're on the same time grid, please let me know. We might find some investors for that. all right, so let's bring back in our featured guest for today's show, Dr. Tom Cunningham, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Good morning again, Tom.
Good morning.
Glad you're here today. So before we dive into some of your expert forward-looking analysis, let's talk about 30 years at the Fed. What an impressive duration of leadership at a key institution within our government. So I got to ask you, and this might come across as maybe too simple-minded, but what's it like to work at the Fed?
It was a lot of fun. I certainly was on the policy side. The Fed does monetary policy, obviously. It also conducts supervision and regulation of segments of the banking and financial services industry, and it clears checks and provides financial services, funds transfer, EFT, all of that. I think the Atlanta Fed is actually in charge of retail payments in the Federal Reserve System for the United States. And so it's not terribly surprising that we have a large fintech community here in the metro region. But yeah, it does all that.
We were talking a little bit about fintech and the fast growth area of freight tech and kind of the warm up to the conversation this morning. So interesting to make that connection. I never made that connection between the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta and the transaction alley that swaths of Atlanta is known for. And also, I think a lot of folks might not realize the geographic reach of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. It's a multi-state.
Yeah, it's basically the six southeastern states, Florida, Georgia, the eastern two-thirds of Tennessee, all of Alabama, and the southern half of Mississippi and Louisiana. And those lines were drawn 100 years ago with the founding of the Fed, largely on the basis of check movement and commerce. Mm.
Well, what an incredible get for the leadership team at the Metro Atlanta Chamber.
Huge.
As Ben was confirming your participation on today's show, he was telling me just a couple nuggets about your background.
Uh-oh.
And then I jumped on the
all good things, I promise, Tom.
The bio, okay. And what an incredible amount of expertise, especially in the world of the economics, to get here with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. So thanks for what you do, and thanks for your time today.
Hey, it's fun.
All right, so let's talk about some of the main factors when we talk about economic strength and economic development. Let's talk about some of the key factors that may be on the front of mind for a lot of these organizational leaders. So, you know, we are certainly the war for talent is alive and well, and while that may sound cliche to many people, if you're hiring people and hiring skilled people, you feel it every day. So, how can Atlanta continue as a global supply chain hub and attractor for young talent?
This is a big problem for everybody everywhere. The Metro Chamber has started a program called Choose ATL. That's a pretty aggressive program to attract and retain, targeted at millennials, but attract and retain pretty much anybody. We have in Atlanta grown faster than the rest of the United States for decades. And what that means mathematically is that you have to have people move in from the rest of the country. And we've been very good at doing that. And that's something that we've relied on and continue to rely on. Particularly with the focus on tech talent, it's tough everywhere. I had somebody tell me once that they moved to Atlanta because while tech talent is tough everywhere, it's not quite as tough in Atlanta as it is elsewhere.
That's right.
And I got to say that one of the reasons I think that's true is because of Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is really large, and I think we underappreciate just how large it is. That if you take their graduate school of engineering and compare enrollment in the grad school of engineering to Berkeley and Stanford combined, Tech is bigger. Tech is bigger than MIT and Harvard grad engineering combined. So the fact is that if you're looking for kind of top shelf economics or top shelf engineering talent coming right out of school, Tech is kind of the place to be. And that's why we've seen so many engineering hubs around here.
Well, you know, speaking of just how, because I completely agree with you, I think a lot of folks don't realize the economic impact that Georgia Tech has. Their industrial engineering school is the largest in the country, and it's largest by it's twice as big as number two. You know, their Georgia Tech Supply Chain Logistics Institute is well known for their involvement within the space and where the space is headed, where supply chain is headed, where it intersects with the talent. So
yeah, I think we tend to take it for granted because it's here and the rest of the world doesn't. And that's why a lot of people are moving here, because this is where the talent's being produced.
Yep. And, you know, going back to what you said, Tom, a minute ago about how tech talent is tough to find anywhere, but it's a little less of a challenge here. I noticed that Forrester Research recently named Atlanta an elite tech talent market. About on par with San Francisco, New York, Washington, D.C., and Seattle. And, of course, we've all heard the moniker, the tech capital of the South. But they doubled down on that, and why? So that was a neat thing to come out in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it helps that it's true. That's a big positive for us.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Ben and Will, any as we talk about talent, anything else to weigh in there before we move to our next topic?
Well, I was going to say ISYE. Of course, since we're talking about Georgia Tech, it's still the number one ranked from an undergraduate standpoint program in the nation, but also at the graduate level as well. And that continues to attract the kinds of supply chain talent in particular that we're looking for here. And there's still companies out there who, to Tom's point, you know, we're almost like a net importer, basically, of talent here in Atlanta, that we're an easy sell to bring in, whether it's other programs like a Michigan State or, you know, students from Auburn and other institutions outside of Georgia. They love coming here. And we import a lot of that talent here too, which is great.
Yep.
And a lot of cities can't do that. They just don't have the resources, the cost of living, things that are built in there as well. It's a very attractive market for folks to come to.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, attractive market for students as well, just for a lot of the reasons that Ben just outlined. I mean, climate, you know, cost of living, and you know, our cities of, you know, once you're sort of in the middle of it, and as we talked about earlier, so many are moving into Midtown and moving into, you know, in town locations. A lot of the millennial workers, you know, they want to have access to be able to go to Tech and all of the great, you know, all of the great hubs and leaders in supply chain and leaders in technology that we have here, and you can get to them easily, and there's a lot to be said for that.
It can't be overstated. It's wonderful to do business here in the Metro Atlanta area, but let's face it, it's a cool city to live in. It's a cool city to connect in and collaborate in. So, interesting notes. We talk about Georgia Tech a lot because they are involved extensively and know so many things. But Tim Brown with the Georgia Tech Supply Chain Logistics Institute sits on the APEX Atlanta Executive Advisory Board as well. Big friend of the show and of the chapter. And, you know, APEX Atlanta has its CSCP and CLTD training at the Supply Chain Logistics Institute. In fact, we just wrapped up our next round of boot camps. But as much as it is about Georgia Tech, if you go a little bit broader, you know, between UGA and Clayton State and Kennesaw State and the technical college system of Georgia, and how critical of a role that plays. Because a lot of that, while all that talent that's come through that pipeline may not ultimately be here in Atlanta, it's still the resources that is in the critical talent universe. I mean, we certainly have a leg up in many ways.
Well, in the metro area, we've got about 280,000 students enrolled in college.
Wow.
Yeah, again, that's a real powerful force of new talent coming out.
Sounds like a new podcast series. We got to tap into that 280,000. Well, really, really neat, Tom. So talent, it's not going away in terms of front of mind.
So nationally, we're at a unique place right now that in any useful sense, we're near full employment. That if you look nationally, there are about 7.5 million job openings in the U.S., and there are about 6 million people actively looking for work. And having more job openings than there are people looking is something that's relatively new for the U.S. economy. That started this summer. So we are in a very tight labor market, and that competition is going to continue. And, you know, just maintaining our ability to retain the talent that's produced here is critical for our well-being, and locationally it's an advantage.
Tom, how often has that happened throughout history?
That we've been tracking this.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yes.
So agglomeration.
Yes.
Talk about that impact. What is it, maybe?
Economies of scope and scale. And this is something that's huge for logistics, because logistics is sort of behind everything that happens anywhere. But one of the reasons that Atlanta is doing as well as it is because the city or the metro economy really doesn't focus on any one thing. That kind of makes it hard to sell, in the sense that, you know, if you talk about Pittsburgh, it's education and pharmaceuticals, healthcare. That's not true here. That if you look at the metro economy and measures of economic diversity, we're the most diverse economy of any major metro city in the U.S. That makes it hard to characterize. It also makes it a really good place to come and do business. And the reason for that is because, again, agglomeration issues, that if you need something, either in terms of talent or an outside vendor or a different customer base, it's here. Mm. And that is not true elsewhere. And so, you know, in terms of doing business, little mistakes or little problems can remain little here in a way that aren't, that isn't the case for other cities. And the fact is that that builds on itself.
That's right.
And so, you know, once you get to be a good place to do business, it makes it better for other new firms to locate here because it's less risky.
Yeah.
You look at our kind of inherent advantages, and logistics is one of those. But beyond that, just across the board, the fact that we have such a diverse economy makes it extremely attractive, and again, because of low risk, to move here.
Tom, speaking of logistics, would freight indices or logistics indices that you track, do you see them as kind of leading indicators or more so trailing kind of indicators?
I see them as concurrent. That there is some degree to which they lead. Certainly, if you look at things like port traffic, mm-hmm. That has to be leading because, you know, it's going to take a while for this stuff to get distributed. On the other hand, if you talk to the people that are bringing the stuff in containers, kind of the way logistics has worked out, you functionally end up with warehouses that are the ships, in ways that just wasn't the case even just a couple of decades ago. And so the management of that flow has really changed a lot, and it certainly cut down
the peak season.
It's cut down the seasonals. It's also cut down a lot of the mistakes. That I think that's one of the kind of interesting things that's happened in, as an economist. One of the things we used to look at a lot were changes in inventories, because inventories are building up either because things are going to be really good, or you made a mistake and you know, got stuff that just couldn't sell.
Yeah.
And figuring out what the meaning of the change in inventories was pretty important. And it's much less so now, because, again, technology and logistics has come a long way. And so the issue of kind of supply chain management and what that means in terms of interpreting the data has changed pretty dramatically over the last really less than two decades.
Yep. Especially as the business, we've gone global, right? So supply chain naturally is going to go through a lot of changes. It's not about moving product to Alabama. It's about moving product to Abu Dhabi.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course that further, that's a barrier of entry for so many other cities that don't have the international infrastructure between the airport and the ports and just in general, the talent, technology, that's all right here in this area.
Well, we have 60-some consul generals, multilateral chambers of commerce. The ability to do business internationally here is established than pretty much any other city. Outside of New York, that's really about it, in terms of international kind of infrastructure. And again, once that is in place, it's really hard to move.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to our listeners, we are broadcasting live today, Supply Chain Now Radio, at the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Our featured guest is Dr. Tom Cunningham, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Co-host Will Haraway with Backbeat Marketing and Ben Harris with the Chamber as well. So glad that you're with us here today. So talent, we've been talking talent. Talent certainly has been keeping many CEOs, CMOs, chief supply chain officers, you name it, up at night. But let's talk about another issue that has been creating almost as much heartburn, one of Preacher Will's favorite issues.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk tariffs. So I think I already know the answer to this question. You know, tariffs are not a good thing. A lot of headwinds when it comes to how they're applied, right?
Yeah, this stuff got resolved about 100 years ago, just in the 30s, before the Great Depression or leading up to the Great Depression. Tariffs are bad.
So
there's No qualification on this.
I'm a big fan of keeping things simple, Tom, so thank you very much. We'll move on to the next subject. But let's unpack that a bit, and let's talk about the impact. Let's tackle this two different ways, maybe. Could you maybe speak to the intention? You know, it's kind of the big stick effect. You know, we understand that leverage maybe that is trying to be applied by the tariff factor. So if you could speak to that a little bit, but then speak to the why they're bad and what it does.
Well, a tariff is a tax on traded goods. And so we've seen this large tax imposed on a variety of different goods in, I don't want to say a haphazard, but an uneven way. So, for example, importing metals has become much more expensive, but importing finished goods that use those metals may not have the tariff, and that puts our domestic manufacturers at a competitive disadvantage. That's unfortunate, and it probably could have been better executed.
In your opinion, are they an effective bargaining tactic?
I don't have a good answer for that. It has the potential to do an awful lot of damage on both sides of the table. And so, I suppose that you could argue that there is some sort of bargaining leverage there. The problem, though, is that there are real costs to this. And the real costs are really large. I mean, if you look at in the Midwest right now, feed grain producers are really hurting because of declines in price that basically have feed grain producers working, you know, at a loss this year and potentially a fairly large one. In terms of disruption in simple production supply chain, just cross-border stuff between Canada and Mexico, we have a really big problem. Again, unintended costs associated with cross-border movement of intermediate goods that, all of this stuff was worked out in a very serious way without the taxes imposed,
right.
And now they are. And so the question is, are you going to rework your supply chain, which is very expensive, in an environment where those taxes may not be continued to be imposed for a long period of time? So in any event, there is what economists call a deadweight loss associated with this, that you have higher prices, lower quantities. On net, that isn't balanced by the tariff revenue. There's a net loss to all the economies involved, and that's unfortunate.
So the other challenge, I think, and we were talking a little bit in the warm-up, is about the uncertainty around the duration. Uncertainty is never a good thing, right, in the business sense. Never a good
thing. Especially in supply chain.
And planning for it. I mean, we've talked about the effect in other shows this year about the effect on our ports, especially down in Savannah, about companies having to stockpile and plan goods ahead of trying to get them overseas before the tariffs come into effect.
Yeah. And that, again, is just an enormous distortion because, you were operating in some sort of optimal run rate.
Yeah.
And orchestration.
All of a sudden.
Efficiency.
You've got to do something that is not first best deliberately to avoid the problems associated with the tariff. And that's going to lead to problems further downstream when this stuff gets payback.
Yeah, and the port volumes almost seem like they're artificially inflated right now. It's not really that the ports are doing anything amazing to for more throughput and things like that. Yes, they all want to improve in that respect.
Moving lots of containers.
But whether it's record years for a lot of these importers, it's like it's artificial because it's not something.
It's
that's
the same
happen.
They would have been doing it anyway. They just have to do it earlier because they're worried that here comes the hammer.
Here comes the boom. Warehouse space is filling up too. I think one of y'all alluded to that. Maybe Chris did. Is that because folks are wanting to hold back and not ship things, kind of wait and let issues play out? Because I think the administration and the Chinese government are trying to work through and come up with an agreement by March, which will address a lot of these tariffs. Tom, is that?
That is the most recent
posturing.
Seriously.
Seriously, this is very difficult to speculate about timing on this stuff. Warehouse space can be filling up because they're anticipating some, sort of breakthrough, or warehouse space can be filling up because they just made a mistake in the current policy environment, and they got to put the stuff somewhere. And interpreting that is really difficult.
Yeah,
I'm with you. It's tough for the layperson here that isn't up to the know on all the different policies and the economic, especially the more complicated economic policies that go into negotiating between the different governments and different economies. So, but thanks for giving us kind of the hey, it is what it is, though, right?
Yeah.
It is what
yeah,
it is.
It is.
So much is out of our hands. Tariffs are not. Generally speaking, and we did a lot of homework before the show to try to figure out a very balanced approach to both sides of the tariff issue. And I can tell you, there's not a whole bunch on the pro-tariff side.
It's really difficult.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weapon of last resort.
Yeah.
And it's been used very broadly, which is unfortunate.
Well, we want to invite, regardless how this works out, we want to invite as much certainty as we can as we break through these issues and others. And you can't talk about tariffs without talking about manufacturing the same breath. So Georgia's home to, I think, about 10,000 manufacturers of all sizes. Tom, what are some of your observations on the, maybe not just the Georgia manufacturing or the Metro Atlanta, but the regional manufacturing industry?
We're a good place to manufacture stuff. Low cost of inputs, labor. Labor is, I think, critical, but becoming much, much less so in manufacturing. The big issue is that what you do on the factory floor is changing pretty dramatically. One of the nice things about Georgia, just putting in a plug for the state here, is our technical college system that is really a model for the rest of the nation in terms of providing appropriate training for, factory floor technologies. This is something that is, an ongoing trend, not just regionally, but nationally. There's a lot of, onshoring of manufacturing simply because labor is not as large a component of most of this stuff as it has been in the past. When you look at productivity gains in the United States, even though we are a service-dominated economy now, all the productivity gains are coming in manufacturing. That, we talk about sort of the decline of the manufacturing sector, and that simply isn't true, that we make more stuff than we've ever made in the U.S. We're just doing it with a smaller share of the labor force. And that's because the technology has improved, and we're getting better productivity out of workers. And as a consequence, moving production onshore makes an awful lot of sense, that you're, no longer disadvantaged by labor costs in the same way you were, and having the factories nearby is an enormous cause for sleeping better at night if you're looking for intermediate inputs. I mean, when you think about auto manufacturing, for example, I mean, the big thing in autos is a lot of the assemblers have moved to the South, and that's a big deal. But the money in autos is in components. And so you're seeing component manufacturers that are not particularly glamorous or high visibility. They're moving into the Southeast in very large numbers. And that's a matter, again, of logistics and supply chain management. And it just makes an awful lot of sense to have the production nearby.
So let's talk about, I think when a lot of folks mention the word diversity, their mind might go to one certain application or definition of diversity. But let's talk about the broader definition of diversity and the advantage that is for the regional manufacturing industry.
Well, again, this goes back to issues of agglomeration. we do everything here. I mean, there's just that's just
it's true.
That's certified. That's just true. The only thing we don't do is a lot of kind of petrochemical refining, and that's in the South, but it's not in the metro area. But beyond that, the whole issue of being able to go to Georgia Tech or to Emory or to Kennesaw and talking to an academic that, you know, has studied your peculiar problem, you know, or going to another, you know, vendor who is critical in whatever it is you're doing, but you're having a problem, simply having them here is critical. And there just isn't a way around sort of, you know, personal interaction. It's a lot of fun to talk about, you know, Skype meetings and all that, but you can't schedule a Skype meeting to have an innovation occur, you know, next Thursday at 3.
Yeah,
that has to be kind of a face-to-face, back and forth
whiteboard session.
Yeah. And you can do that here. And you can do that here for almost everything in a way that you just can't do it in most other cities. And that's, again, a huge advantage for everybody that's doing business here.
Yep. Diversity of talent, diversity of customers, diversity of industry, just the ecosystem, to steal a word from you, Ben. When I first met someone that had that title, it didn't dawn on me exactly what that meant, but really it is a growing ecosystem where you can find just about anything you're looking for.
Right.
Yeah.
And on both supply and demand side.
That's right.
If you come up with a new product, you may not know whether or not it's any good.
We could not get through an hour of a podcast without supply and demand coming up with the chief economist.
But you can go around and find somebody that might be a potential customer and bring it to them and say, well, what do you think of this?
Right.
Again, in a way that you just can't easily do in most other metro areas.
Absolutely. So we got over 60 innovation centers, I think, now here in Atlanta. I think 17 of those are devoted to or have some sort of supply chain and logistics component to them right now. So,
well, again, supply chain's behind everything.
Mm. Sure.
Absolutely.
Look at that.
Amen.
That's a t-shirt.
Amen.
Tom, you're welcome anytime.
Yeah, it is. Again,
we're partial.
Has the advantage of being true.
Absolutely. Speaking of innovation centers, we look forward to, in the first quarter 2019, to be broadcasting live from Point A, which I've been on the show before with Georgia Pacific. That's one of the 60 or 70 innovation centers that are here in the metro Atlanta area.
Tom, have you made it over there yet?
No, I haven't.
GP's new Point A?
No.
Definitely next time I go, I'll give you a heads up.
Good.
We should go together.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So, so kind of to recap. It's tough to recap.
Reset.
It's tough to talk about these big, massive media issues in a 25 or even a 2 hour long segment. But so next year, let's talk about next year. Before we recap, let's talk about 2019. Give us some general observations of what in your crystal ball, which is probably a lot more accurate than others. But what are you seeing?
A little bit of a slowdown. Not anything terrible. That, you know, there's this expression that expansions don't die of old age, something kills them. And we're a little concerned about tariffs and the disruptions there. But if that doesn't kind of send us off the rails, we'll probably see something, you know, in the mid to upper twos in terms of growth nationally, and a little bit better than that for Atlanta. Again, we are very reflective of the overall economy. We just tend to outperform it slightly. And I think that's a good forecast for where we're going. Let me add one kind of factoid that I think is kind of cool that people in the industry here, again, probably don't appreciate. Atlanta's really large. That if we were an economy unto ourselves, we would be bigger than Ireland. And so, you know, as we kind of think about how the metro is behaving and what it means to have this fairly complete set of industries, again, a large part of that being supply chain, that's really not surprising that we are big. And if you kind of thought about us as an economy, you'd be saying, oh, well, yeah, they're of course they've got all this stuff because it's a really big place.
So continuing that 20 nights, so bigger than Ireland. I'm going to take that home to share that with my wife. So because we're doing our part to continue to expand that, especially this time of year, right?
Yeah.
So to continue our talk about 2019, you mentioned something about expansions and how they don't die of old age. Talk more about that.
Well, I mean, a lot of people say, look, we've been in expansion for, you know, not quite 10 years, and that's relatively long as economic expansions go. And that's true. But we've had a lot of long expansions recently, and, you know, academics got very interested in whether or not there is something kind of deterministic about business cycles. That is that, you know, they get old and die. Mm. And I think the literature's pretty conclusive that that just isn't the case, that there is something out there that kills them, either, you know, some kind of shock like energy or a policy mistake of some sort. You know, in this case, I think we're looking at tariffs that seem to be a little disruptive, and, you know, how that ultimately plays out is something we'll see next year. It doesn't look like there's anything.
There's no speculative bubbles out there or anything like that that might be under the current issue, a little bit.
Yeah. So the kind of story is that when you get these kind of shocks, what that does is it exposes other weaknesses. And so you have all these kind of weaknesses out there, but the shocks that are coming to the economy are kind of randomly scattered all over the place. And so you kind of cope with things. And there are things that are unsustainable, but that's kind of always true. But when you get a shock that is pervasive, then everybody has to deal with this all at once. And what had been sort of random, you know, onesie twosie problems here and there kind of become a wave, and what we were kind of muddling through, you can't muddle through anymore. Okay. And that's when you get a recession.
All right. So if you're looking for, so to now kind of summarize, if you're looking for tech talent, come to Atlanta, right? Tariffs, that they're bad.
Yeah.
They're bad.
Yeah. That's so silly saying like that, but
tariffs are bad. Any South Park fans out there?
Not a good.
So hopefully it's just posturing. Hopefully there's an arrangement.
Well, I mean, there are real price problems now. Mm. Not so much here, but in the Midwest, you see, again, states that have suffered pretty serious economic losses already.
Mm. But we're hoping it gets resolved, so there's a lot more certainty into the equation, which is good for everybody. I loved your commentary around how how diverse, how strong of an ecosystem that Metro Atlanta and even the greater region is. I mean, if you're looking for something in Atlanta, you can find it. The amount of diversity and talent and customers and the different sectors and supply and demand, as you put it, alive and well.
That's all about risk mitigation. Mm. And so it's just, you know, because you've got all this stuff here, it's just less risky.
Yep. And that seems to be the soup of the day.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's looking to manage risk. It's gotten a lot more attention, it seems like, in the last year or two. And 2019, to summarize, a little bit of a slowdown. But hopefully if we get some of these policies, some of these issues resolved, it could maybe be a counter.
I mean, I think, you know, we can't run above potential forever. And, you know, we are facing very serious growth constraints because we just don't have the workers. And that's a big problem that, you know, in the past, this is, you know, kind of the targeted immigration issue, that we have met worker shortages in the past with immigration. And, you know, that's kind of what we need now, particularly, you know, if you look at tech, you know, just kind of we lose a very large share of our Georgia Tech grads abroad because they can't legally immigrate here. And that's just an unfortunate waste of resources for us.
We're going to bring you back for a second hour, and we're going to talk about the immigration system.
No, we can talk about this forever. This has been awesome.
It has been great. But to finish that last note, I think that system from top to bottom, there's so much opportunity to bring it into the 21st century.
Absolutely.
We'll have to tackle that soon. But But Dr. Tom Cunningham, Chief Economist with the Metro Atlanta Chamber, what a great pleasure to have you, an honor to have you on the show. Want to bring you back. Maybe we do a first quarter review and see, you know, do a pulse check of where the economy is.
Yeah. But whatever. If seems people like stay awake through it, that's fine with me, you know.
Well, want to close out on a couple final items. Before we do, Ben, Will, any, you know, we're talking about 2019. You want to weigh in real quick on a quick prognostication?
After you, sir.
Oh, gosh. I was just going to talk about a couple of events coming up. We're actually doing the RELA Supply Chain Conference, which has actually been rebranded. It's now being called LINC. Apparently.
Okay.
That's going to be, I believe, in Orlando end of February. Okay. So another exciting, we're doing kind of an activation, if you will, with the Metro Atlanta Chamber here. We've got several partners joining us for that, doing kind of a larger booth presence, doing a nightly event there also. Would love, if you're interested in joining us, give me a shout here, bharris@macoc.com. Would love your involvement there. Or if you're just attending, you know, obviously we'd love to meet up there as well. We've also got Transparency, their big FreightWaves, big conference is actually coming back to Atlanta next year. That was a really interesting, we talk about freight tech here.
Yes.
It's really probably, here it is, it's only had 1 year of existence. Last year was their inaugural year. This is their second. And it's probably the premier freight tech conference in the U.S., if not globally. Actually, right now, with the amount of companies there that are involved in freight tech, that's May 6th through the 8th right here in Atlanta.
Yeah,
so,
that's a good one. There's another really, with they and EFT, those are, again, two of the leading up-and-comers in supply chain data analysis and certainly in the media as well.
Sounds like a big event down there. You know, we're going to be down at the APIC Top 50 Symposium in Orlando at the end of January. We need to broadcast live down there with actually – APIX and now the Association for Supply Chain Management CEO, Abe Eshkenazi. So Chris Barnes is going to be doing a one-on-one interview with Abe.
And Scott, you were talking about, you know, just what to look for in 2019. And I think that the freight tech is a good example of all the things to look, of a thing to look for in 2019, as far as a lot of these disruptive technologies. You know, I think last year was really when BITA, the blockchain, started exploding with a lot of logistics companies, several here in Supply Chain City that joined BITA to try and start to outlay some possible, impacts for blockchain in the supply chain industry. And that, freight tech, IoT, how are those things going to be invested in? And integrated into future supply chain plans. That's a great thing to look for as the year goes on.
Absolutely. And that BITA group seems like they have really caught fire and have been growing left and right.
They've certainly,
speaking of freight waves. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And they've certainly added, it's almost like a who's who at this point. Mm. If everybody wants to be involved because they don't really want to be left out of the decision making, you know.
Good, great stuff to keep on the radar. From a Supply Chain Now standpoint, our next, so this is our second to last podcast of the year, standard podcast, standard format. We got some great profiles and supply chain leadership coming up later today. But we, this Friday, December 21st, we continue our hashtag Leadership Matters series with Bo Groover of the Effective Syndicate. We're going to be featuring Dave Maddox, president of CSC&P Atlanta Roundtable, and Paige Siplon, CEO of Team One Logistics on that show. I mentioned we're broadcasting live in Orlando as part of the APIC Top 50 Symposium. Lots of webinars. We just wrapped up a great webinar that was very well received with Will Haraway on, we talked about on the front end, supply chain marketing, influencing the influencers. That recording is available.
Yes.
And if you can't find that somewhere across every social media channel, let us know. We'll shoot it to you.
Yeah.
Great job there, Will. Really
Thank
enjoyed
you, sir.
Working with you.
Thank you.
Scott, I got one more event for
you.
Yeah,
please.
Also, end of January, also SMC3 does their annual Jumpstart conference as well. I'll be speaking there. There's a couple of panel sessions that are really interesting there. But as far as the freight market and trucking specifically, as far as who's of trucking are going to be here in Atlanta for that. So something to keep on your radar there as well.
SMC3, that's a great, great yearly conference there, right?
It is indeed.
Yeah. Finishing out that note on the webinars, though, if you want to, any of our webinars, we'll make it easy. If you want to auto-enroll for each of those sessions, you can always opt out. Text supply chain, imagine that, to 42828, and we'll get you auto-enrolled. And, of course, you know, you can always opt out if you see a topic that you don't like, but we'd love to have you join us. One last big event to talk about before we wrap up and thank everybody, the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. We're first year event, March 12, 2019. APIC, CSCMP, and the Metro Atlanta Chamber have been teaming up to spotlight all the end-to-end success in the supply chain industry in Metro Atlanta. Nominations are open. We want a lot more nominations. We've had some great ones come in already.
Yeah, get them in.
But we're shaking the trees. You can nominate at AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. Supply Chain Now Radio and Backbeat Marketing are both serving as media partners for the award show. So we're shaking trees with both arms. Sponsorships are also open. We got some big news to announce in the next week or two, probably just after the first year, around the keynote for that lunch event. But help us spotlight what these companies are doing across the end-to-end supply chain. So AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com.
Help us.
Help us.
You.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I've heard that once or twice before.
You know, I don't know where I picked that one up.
All right. So let's see here. EFT, I got a little show note from Mr. Chris Barnes. So the EFT conference we mentioned, of course, June 10th through the 12th, it's at the Westin Peachtree Plaza. And speakers include Jack Allen with Cisco, friend of the show, Tire Hub, Uber Freight, DHL, Expeditors, Johnson & Johnson, American Global Logistics, and many others. Check that out. The theme is Mastering the Digital Supply Chain, which is a hot topic. EFT.com.
Couldn't think of a better topic.
Yeah.
Mastering the digital supply chain right here in Supply Chain City. That's what it's all about.
So. Absolutely. That is what it's all about. But want to thank our sponsors first, APIC Atlanta and Talent Stream for, of course, helping to make this show happen each month. Several shows happen each month. Want to thank our guests, Dr. Tom Cunningham, SVP and Chief Economist with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Thanks for all your great perspective.
My pleasure.
Tom, hope to have you back soon. Want to thank our co-hosts, Will Haraway with Backbeat Marketing. Of course, Ben Harris, the mayor of Supply Chain City.
That's good.
But no, thanks. It's always, you know, we're of course, wrapping up 2018. I think we've been doing this Supply Chain City series for 6 or 7 months now. It's really been a pleasure to collaborate with you, and we look forward to bigger things in 2019.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
And what is it? We have 2.8 million downloads so far, Scott, since inception of 2017?
Since May 2017, we've had over 2.8 million downloads, and we've got a master plan to help get this great content, the best practices, and the perspective that's shared to even more folks in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, listeners. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Goes without saying. That's
and underwriting and sponsorship is available. So I've got to sneak that in at the end here. But if you've heard anything today that you can't Google, you can't find on a website, you can't find the right point of contact for, shoot us an email. Again, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at supplychainnowradio.com. We'll hook you up. Thanks for listening. Hope everyone has a happy holiday season. Merry Christmas. And we will see you in 2019.